Ibra di testa, Tonali, gol! Sandro! Meritato! Sandro!
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Sempre Milan podcast. I'm your host, Ollie Fisher, back after a week of absence. My pleasure to be joined by AJ, who I thought was going to be absent this week, but he's here.
Yeah, I announced it, you know, apparently you schedule time off work, you tell everyone you're going to be gone, and then the boss calls you in because the circus can't run without the ringmaster. So I'm back. Happy to be here, though. You know, I got in yesterday. Obviously, I was in Italy, and I got to see two of the games that we're going to talk about today. So it should be fun. And we got trusty Madison as well, and his dog.
That's what I was laughing. Like, what the fuck is this dude doing?
We got a fourth guest.
Yeah, man. Happy AJ had a good time in Italy. He had a revolution about one of our players that he's been slagging on for the past 4 years. So I'm excited for him to
have a funny story about that
there.
As well, actually.
And the dog is no longer in the picture, so.
Yeah. Sounds like he just died.
Might just keep popping in and out, which is fine. Yeah, it's kind of like a tale of two games, like complete opposite ends of the spectrum. Oh, there we go. Complete opposite ends of the spectrum for you, AJ, in terms of the games that you saw. But for those who don't know, you saw the Cremonese and Lazio games at San Siro. We'll just dive into the Cremonese one, shall we? This should be a nice quick recap. But rather than talking about the game itself, which was yet more drop points against a team that are down the bottom end of the table, they were in 19th. You know, it's just typical us this season. We've rotated a few players and all of a sudden forget how to finish. Talk us through what it was like to go to your first ever game at San Siro.
It was incredible, honestly. We got off of the metro at Ippodromo instead of the stadium. We were going to walk around a bit because we got there fairly early. And just you get out there, and I didn't realize at the Ippodromo stop that you can see the stadium. And when we got out, we turned right and saw like a little park. We're like, oh, that's a nice park. Like, let's walk around, check that out. And then when we got to the park, we turned around to the direction we just came from. And had we looked left coming out of it, we would have seen the stadium right there. And it caught me by surprise. And like, I don't know, this is going to sound corny, but like I actually choked up and cried a little bit. Like just seeing, I don't know, it just was like.
You saw the starting lineup as well, like, then at the same time.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a bit, but it really was an emotional experience for him. Just as you guys know, the 4 consecutive years of having this trip canceled on me, that I'm just like, until I was in the stadium in my seat, I still didn't know if I was actually going. Like we got food before the game, and I thought I'm probably going to choke on my food and die here and just not make it to the game. Like there's no way I'm actually going to see this fucking team play. And I got to, and then I got to do it again a few days later, and it was just incredible. So if to anyone who hasn't been to the stadium, you know, comment below and let us know, and maybe next time we go we'll actually do a live vlog. We've talked about that forever, never did, but if you have been to the stadium and you're not interested in that, just tell us your experience of it, and you know, we could compare notes, because you guys probably see me, I'm always replying in the comments. But incredible being there. It was just the coolest thing ever, seeing it. We got to eat with the Curva. Some stories about that I don't know if I want to share on here, because they probably will get us demonetized, but you guys heard about that experience. Got into the stadium, and we were in like the fourth row of second orange section, 269. Nice. That was intentional as well. It was really close to the Curva, but not in it for the like the disaster, because obviously my girlfriend came, and you know, I wanted her to get that experience, but I didn't want to put her right in the shit, you know, off the rip. I was like, ow. Because her only experience has been DC United, who is consistently last place in the MLS in a very small stadium. So the fan base there, you know, I'm sure you can imagine there's quite a huge gap in quality between the ultras in San Siro and in Audi Stadium. But yeah, so we got there. They were loud as shit. It was fantastic. My watch was going nuts saying, hey, the decibels are at 95, you know, 10 minutes of this and you'll lose your hearing. And 90 minutes went by and it never got quiet. I got quiet one moment. That was when Cremonese scored to go ahead in, I believe, like the 79th minute. Sal Makers had scored an offside goal. All you're saying it was offside. I still haven't gone back to watch it or any of the highlights. So I didn't actually see it. And from my angle, it was on the opposite end of the pitch. So really couldn't see it at all. It just looked like someone played a great ball. CDK rounding the keeper and not scoring was also on the far side, and the entire row behind me, like, everyone stood up. We all thought, oh my God, this is the moment we're going to see it happen. And when it didn't go in, it was a mixture of whistles and, you know, FUs and then laughter, just like, this fucking guy, he just can't do it. And it was like that the whole game. After that chance, he really, watching him live, you can tell he does have a lot of footballing knowledge. Like, he is a good player. He just can't get anything off. And it's got to be confidence, like we've been saying for weeks, because he's always in the right spot. He's making the runs. He's just not getting trusted with the ball, and rightly so. He shouldn't be. Go ahead.
His completed dribble percentage is higher than Liao's. So by the stats, he's a better dribbler than Liao.
Well, Liao also takes on a lot more, you know, tries a lot more things. So
I'm just saying, man. Yeah. Stats but, don't lie.
Stats definitely lie.
Stats don't
100%
lie,
say stats lie.
Stats don't lie.
Since we're doing the the game stuff now, on the Salamaca's offside, he was offside. It wasn't a massive offside. It's not like there was a clear gap between the two players. It was one of those where he's leaning off and his foot's a bit off as well. The semi-auto offside is always going to pick that up. There was no debate about it, in my opinion. What was annoying is that he could have held his run and he'd have still been absolutely fine if he'd have just made sure that he was the half a yard back that he needed to be, because he still had so much time to bring that ball down. He got himself through on goal. It was a tidy finish, really, in the end after the one touch. But that happened. The CDK thing, I also thought that was the moment. You know, he also did the right thing trying to round him. I actually don't have any problems with the fact that he tried to go around the goalkeeper, because when you're in the situation that he's in, you want to try and give yourself an open net, which is what he would have done if that touch had have just been a little bit wider, perhaps. I can't fault him too much on it, though, because I think Kaneshi, the Cremonese goalkeeper, did a really good job. There's a good still photo of him, and his left leg is fully outstretched and he gets just a stud on the ball, you know, to make sure that because if he gets it wrong, it's a penalty and probably a red card too. So yeah, that happened. And then fucking Okereke scored, holding off two players. Chiao, in my opinion, Chiao could have maybe stepped up and made the intervention a little bit earlier, but he wasn't given much chance to do it after that because Kalulu decided to scissor him to the floor for some reason. I mean, that must have been funny to watch live.
Yeah, so that was on the opposite end from where I was. Mm. So I couldn't see the collision, but from the angle, you know, you see Clue coming in and it looked like Chow's got him. You know, he's just waiting for him to make his move and then he was going to throw in the tackle. And then you see Clue go in to where him and Chow are both right behind the Cremonese player from my angle. So you can't see them. It's like, you know, an eclipse almost with people. And then all of a sudden you just see two Milan bodies drop. And it looks like the Cremonese dude just like plowed through him somehow. And we're like, what the hell happened? And that was the first time the stadium was silent, the first time you hear the Cremonese fans. And I really thought I showed up to San Siro to see us lose to Cremonese, to see 0 minutes of Teo, about 10 minutes of Liao, which we'll get to. I just really spent money to watch Rebic and Origi and Ballatore and all this. And I was like, and we lost to Cremonese. And then we obviously got the one goal, which makes no sense. Like, it went through people. So did it get a touch on Krunic? Because the stadium put up Krunic's face for the goal. They did the Rade Krunic, you know that.
Yeah.
Thing. And then on the website after the game, it said Macias. So I don't know.
I guess they thought that because it did flick in after Macias shot the ball or passed or whatever he attempted to do. And I guess they thought it was Krunic who got the flick on it. It was actually the Cremonese defender, but because the original effort was on target, it goes down still as Macias' goal. So that's the way that they judged it. I think we also tweeted the Krunic goal gif. It was a bit chaotic at that point.
Thing that did happen, though, was Krunic just running up and pushing the dude down with his chest, which, like,
that was mad.
It should almost negate the goal, right? Like, that's an offensive foul in the buildup. Like, that. In my opinion, I'm like, okay, what are you doing? You should never do something like that. That's just asking for trouble. But, you know.
He clearly said something in his ear, though, because it was one of those I showed you kind of thing, and he boffed him.
It was right after the red card, right? For the guy who punched Tonali.
Oh my God, I'd forgotten about that as well. That was crazy. Yeah,
that was nuts.
That forearm smash. It got a little bit like that towards the end of the game. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a fair bit of needle. There was stuff happening off the ball. There was clearly some stuff said between the teams. But it was good
to
see
that. It's always like
that
when a lower side takes the lead.
Yeah.
And then they're hurt all the time. They're trying to stop down play. And as the better team, you're trying to, you know, restore that equality or get your own lead. And so it's just
the problem is, it can end up working against you in a way as well, like because of what happened with the red card and the remaining time that was left in added time had elapsed. I wasn't confident that the ref was going to add that extra time on. Yeah. And he did. We had one more sort of pump ball into the box, but I just think it can disrupt your momentum a bit when you get involved in that kind of thing. But also if you're getting one of your players' forearm smashed in the face, then you don't really have much choice but to stick up for him. More drop points again after Empoli, after Salernitana, Bologna. It's just the way it goes. When we rotate enough bodies, we just have very little in the way of fluidity. And unfortunately that proved to be the case again.
Oh, I didn't realize Liao came on in the 62nd minute. You know, that's the other
just
thing.
Just after the hour, yeah.
What I didn't realize was how fast the game goes when you're there. Because I swear,
dude,
I
it's so much faster.
8 minutes, you know, like, yeah, it flew
and also
by.
Like, hard to finish. You're like, also kind of like in like a daze, right?
Yeah,
I haven't been to San Siro, but I remember being at Goodison Park, and I was just like, I hope this never ends.
Yes,
and then
and that was the funny part too.
And I was just like, what? No, like nothing happened. Yeah. Like, what happened? You know. And then just I was
during the Lazio game. As soon as it was added time, like, I was torn because I was like, end this shit, blow the whistle, do not give them an opportunity. But then I was like, I don't want to leave. Like, this is right. It. Keep going, you know? So that was crazy. But yeah, and then my revelation that you mentioned, Calabria is an incredible right back. So I take back most of everything I said about him in the past. He's really good. And watching him, because another plus to being live is you get to pick which player you want to focus on. You don't have to follow the camera, and so you see way more off the ball stuff. So that's when you
also
realize how good the midfielders are. And
yeah, that's like what I said when what was it, the Napoli first leg, the last game that I went to, and I picked Tonali, and I said it's one of those where if you can scan the whole field at once, you really appreciate what they do and how hard it is to just dictate the tempo of something on your own. And you also really appreciate how much ground they cover, especially fullbacks. Like, you see Teo going 80 meters back and forth the whole game. The fitness is incredible, and to still maintain composure right until the last minute, near enough. Fair point. Good point. Yeah. We'll do.
And that's why I was like, wow, Calabria is actually fucking great.
We'll consider you a convert.
Welcome was so happy when you sent that in the chat. I was like, I'm going to make him say this on the podcast.
Well, so the funniest part about it is I tweeted that, or I sent it to the group chat. I didn't mention it to Gemma because I don't even know if she knows about my fucking agenda or whatever. Like, I just enjoyed the game. Well, then during the Lazio game, before halftime, she leans over to me and she's like, who's number two? And I was like, Escalabri, he's a captain. She goes, that guy's a fucking idiot. Like, he sucks.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I was like, you don't know the backstory, but this is the funniest moment of my life. And I was like, I think he's actually not bad anymore, but I used to hate on him.
This is why I brought you to Italy.
Yeah, I was like, I just need someone to back me up, but it was so funny. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, she's actually getting really into it. She's loving it, and she bought a Giroud jersey. Well, I bought it for her, but she picked it out, and, you know, she knows all the players now. Like, Lorenzo's girlfriend was shocked, like, oh, you know every single player on the team. And she's like, oh, you don't? Like, because of how much I dictate her life with the sport. She just assumed all of us do that with our plus ones.
Shannon's always like, which jerseys are we in this week? I'm like,
Fuck. Well, that's what I told her. I was like, yeah, it's just me and Ollie because Jordan likes it, but Shannon hates it. She doesn't give a fuck. She won't be in the basement watching the game. And it sounded like Becca, who Lorenzo's misses, tells him what they're doing, and if there's time to watch the game, he gets to. So
yeah, that's true. Funny.
But yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, tops and flops, I think.
Yeah, tops and flops, and then we'll move on to the game that's actually worth talking about. Cool. But it's really important to highlight their your first experience at San Siro and how magical it is, especially walking out the metro, and it's just this huge like spaceship type structure. Yeah. I'll never forget my first time seeing
There's
it.
Nothing like
wow.
it.
There's nothing around it, first of all, so it just stands out so big. But yeah, crazy. Honestly, like this is tough to pick out tops because there wasn't anything in the way of a meaningful bit of attacking play, barring a good cross to Brahim Diaz that was missed kind of point blank at the back post, but he's short and that's what happens. The attacking department again kind of failed. Defensive department didn't have much to do, but when they got that examination towards the end of the game, Kalulu and Chiao just kind of whatever collided. I'll give it to Selemaa because I think he was the brightest of a bad bunch.
Yeah, Salamakers was really good. I'm gonna give it to Macias just because he scored the goal. And another thing when you're there live is like nothing ever looks as bad as it does on TV. So like. Again, we'll get to it with Lazio, but you guys are saying, oh, it's such a boring game. And like, I had the time of my life. It was the most fun ever. I didn't have a single boring moment. So everything was good, you know? And it's hard to like, I don't know. The only thing I just remember thinking, don't take Salamakers off. He's doing so well. And then when Macias came on, he was like making good cuts, making good passes. And then obviously he scored the goal. And I was like, wow, Macias is actually pretty sharp. So I'll give it Macias.
Calabria, because AJ realized how good he was.
I like that.
Fantastic. The other thing I will give Macias credit for, since you mentioned it, is he placed that free kick in the only channel where, when you're hitting it low and soft like that, it was going to cause confusion. He could have put his foot through it and gone into Rose head or whatever, but the fact that he just thought, I could do something a bit crafty here, and it worked. Fair enough, he came up with the goods there. Flop of the match, for me, Kalulu, like, that was pretty bad. That nearly cost us... that nearly cost us the game. You know, that mainly sent Cremonese away with what would have been a massive 3 points for them. But just no good.
Yeah, it probably should be Kalulu. I think CDK is the other option, but I think CDK does enough right that even though he didn't get the goal and he looked kind of silly in the way it happened, I'm still not going to give him flop. I'm going to give it to Kalulu as well because... ultimately, that's why we conceded and we didn't get the 3 points.
Yeah,
exactly what you said.
Great. And we can move on now to the better game. I messaged you like a few hours before the game and said, I'm really, really confident I predict a win in here like once a month in the predictions that we do. But I have rarely been as confident that we were going to bounce back with a win. As I was before Saturday's game. I remember texting you like, please don't worry about today. You're going to see 3 points. And it proved to be that way. It was two first half goals. It was really... what was it like, by the way, going for a day game as opposed to a night game?
It was honestly so cool. Like, I actually really enjoyed it. And I was nervous that the sun was going to be just shining right in my eyes. But luckily, the rafter that covers the Corva was just perfectly where the sun was. So it never got there. It was sunny, and like the top of my head, I don't know if you could tell, but it's burnt. Like I bought a knockoff hat, you know, outside the stadium because I was roasted. But it was really cool. I don't know. The atmosphere is different during a day game. Obviously, this was also a bigger game. So, but yeah, I enjoyed it. I would do another 3 p.m. kickoff there. Yeah, it was nice.
It was kind of cool having the rest of your day then to celebrate it as well, because when it's a night kickoff, like tomorrow's game against Inter will finish at 11 p.m. local time. It's like it's almost like good luck getting home after that.
And that's how it was after Cremonese. Like, we were exhausted. You know, we did a full day of touristy shit and then went to a 9 p.m. football match. Like, our bodies were beat, and then a mile walk back to Lotto station so we could skip the mess, and it was still a mess, honestly. Like, probably could have gone on at San Siro, but we did it just to be safe, just in case, but yeah, it was good.
Yeah, anyway. Two goals in the first half. I guess what you will have seen being there in person as well is how good our high press was early on in this game. Lazio, I will say, just as an undertone for the entire game, just did not look arsed at all. Mm-hmm. They were really, really bad. To say they're the kind of have been the runaway second team in Serie A, I think it reflects pretty badly on them that they can have a performance that bad. It's not like they got dicked 5-0. It's not like it's as bad as what we were at their place when we lost 4-0 to them. But they just weren't at the races at all. They didn't have any intensity. They were sloppy playing out from the back. The midfield looked like they'd never played together before. Benacer pushes up, takes the ball off of... can't remember who he took it off now. Might be Sergio Roberto. And then, into Giroud, layoff, finish, 1-0 up. And then Teo Hernandez, 84 meters.
It wasn't Giroud who scored.
No, Giroud laid it back to Benacer, who scored.
Oh, okay.
He kind of scuffed it, though. He hit it into the ground, and then it went over. But
it was a cool scissor kick, though.
Yeah. Unfortunately, both these goals were, again, opposite side of where I was. So, yeah. In fact, every single goal I saw goal, except for the Macias one was.
The Teo goal you kind of want to see from a distance, though. Because you get to just like see it far. Like sword.
Well, apparently not, because there was a supposed deflection that I made a fool out of myself on, and but I beat Isaac with the whole chemistry talk instead.
Mm-hmm. No, he just understand that you were trolling him.
You can go with that if you want. I mean, look, it wasn't a colossal deflection where it was going one top corner and it ended up in the other bottom corner or anything like that. I mean, that's where he was aiming the ball roughly, but it did take the deflection and loop over Provedel. Just an incredible run though. Like Maignan again, heads up play, looks up after claiming the ball, sees Teo right on the corner of his own box, and then when he gets going, it seems to be the same run every time when he does these solo runs. He goes out to the left at first, and then he makes his cut down the middle, and he exploits the stretch space between their defence and midfield, obviously, that was there. But again, really bad defending, little in the way of closing down. But a tidy finish, and good to see a memorable goal like that in person.
I lost my mind. I felt like I was fainting. Like, I grabbed onto Lorenzo immediately. I was like, oh my God, like, what's going on here? And I mean, that was the coolest goal we'd ever seen. Going back a little bit, though, obviously, Liao got hurt after 9 minutes, taken off after 11. I don't know what it looked like they were taking a water break at first. No one in the stadium at least understood right away that it was because of an injury. That we were just like, why are they taking a water break already? It's only been 9 minutes, you know? Mm-hmm. And then we saw him not move once they restarted play and he was still on the pitch. He didn't move from his spot, and he pointed to Giroud and someone else to like, go cover my man. I don't have this. And then they kicked it out for us, which was nice. And he walked off from there. But he did make a run immediately that cut in. He almost put it up and almost had one. And we both were like, okay, Liao's feeling it. Like, he's got this. And then, of course, obviously.
It was during that as well. That it was the ball just got away from him at the moment he was trying to shoot. And it was the stretching to get to the ball that did it.
Yeah.
But the good sign is that he thought he was okay enough at first. Like, they're saying now it's an elongation, which is basically just an overstretching.
Yeah.
And it's not anything serious. And he obviously tried to carry on, but Pioli was, you could see Pioli on the TV camera shouting at him, Rafa, come off. You know, not risking anything here.
And that's the right
move. For the best. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get, obviously, this was the bigger game of the two. Like, this was a must win, as they all are at this point. But, yeah, I mean, it's the right move. If everyone else is in agreement, like, look, we'll change the system and we'll work around it, then we get it done. And obviously two goals within, 10, 20 minutes after that, like, it was good. And, you know, Rebic scored one too. It just also got called off. Was that very clearly offside? That one was actually right in front of me.
I didn't think it was.
Again, it was one of those.
I'm not watching anything for offsides, you know.
It was one of those where something had happened previously, and then when they cut back to it, Rebic was just finishing the chance. So the first watch, you couldn't see if he was offside or not, but there wasn't really much in the way of complaints, and the check for it was quick, so I presume he was well offside. But
yeah, he was right in front of me when that happened, so that was cool. I got to see that, and we're excited because there was a long period of time without a goal, and then, you know, they called it off, so that was a bummer. But yeah, it didn't seem like they were contesting it. And we didn't even know why. So I was like, was it offside? Was there a foul in the buildup? What happened? You know, I had no idea.
One thing I will say about this is as I was writing the match report for this, after like 80 minutes, I had two paragraphs for the second half. It just seemed to just evaporate. The time just evaporated and nothing was happening, you know. That's great for us. Game management, keep those energy levels high. You don't have to be in tens for the full 90 then. We can keep a bit in the tank for obviously important games that we've got coming up. But it would have been nice.
Pioli said the temperature really wore the guys out immediately,
yeah,
which was apparent. It was really obvious. I didn't even watch that interview, actually. My girlfriend told me about it that night. She's like, oh, I saw Pioli said this. And I was like, how did you see that? And I didn't. Apparently,
she's actually a bigger fan than you. We'll get her.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Great stuff. Tops and flops then, shall we? Top for me, it's a toss-up between Bennacer and Teo. For me, obviously, the two goal scorers in the end, but also the ones who seem to be the most on it, you know, perform their roles really well. Bennacer, more advanced midfield. Teo playing as a midfielder at times as well. I'm going to give the edge to Teo.
I was going to give it to Teo too, just because I'll never see something like that again. Actually, you might. Yeah, like, it's his second time doing it, so
yeah.
I love goals being scored from out of the box, and then he was out of the box, upper 90.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with
you just can't beat that. Yeah. And like,
Without resorting to hyperbole, there are only a few players in the world who can score a goal like that, you know?
Yeah.
And for Teo to have done it twice, and both times to make it 2-0, both times in a big game in the season as well.
Were they both week 34?
No, Atalanta was the second last of the season. So that'd been 37.
Gotcha.
But yeah. And flop, I can't even really remember. I'm looking at our ratings here because I've kind of forgotten. So it feels bad to pick one out for
Leao, because he's weak. Got injured.
That is a horrible shout.
Destroy me in the comments. I dare you.
They will. Do it. Please do, everyone, and I'll back you up. You'll get a love from Semper Milan if you do it.
So just know it's AJ, not actually Semper Milan.
I picked up a copy of Gazzetta dello Sport the morning after. Just I wanted nice it. Souvenir. It's got a picture of the Euro Derby on it. It's got Teo doing his little thing and then the Lukaku shush side by side. But their ratings, they actually gave Liao, obviously, a no rating. And they gave a no rating to Mike, even though he had an assist. But just because
they did.
He had zero involvement, and he had nothing to do. They didn't have a single shot, or a shot on target. They might have had one shot or a couple, but yeah, he had nothing to do. So harsh to call him a flop, but I don't like there wasn't a bad player. If you ask my girlfriend, she says Calabria, but I didn't think he was that bad either. Pioli rotated a lot too, so it really was hard to give someone like a fair shake.
We can just say job well done then. Happy days. It could have been bigger. Obviously, it's a bit annoying that Juve went on to beat Atalanta and Inter went on to beat Roma. The race seems to compact and everyone's within 2 points, and then those head-to-head games happen and it extends out a bit again. But yeah, we're no closer to knowing things like if Juve are going to get another points deduction this season, if they're going to get turfed out of Europe. It all seems to be going to another appeal.
They're getting another deduction. We just don't know how much or if it's going to be next season or this.
I feel so much more. They'll get their next punishment within a month, but then it can be appealed again. And if that happens, which it will, then it's likely to apply next season. But then they've also said that they want the punishment to impact their probability of getting into the Champions League next season. So I don't see how you can do that if the punishment doesn't come until July or whatever.
Yeah.
The biggest thing would be to hear that UEFA are going to stop them from entering, you know, and conduct their own.
But I mean, is it fair for UEFA to do that to Juve but not PSG or Manchester City?
It would probably be for the salary thing, I would imagine. The capital gains thing isn't really there. I mean, they can investigate it.
The reason their capital gains thing does count is because the Prisma investigation for the other one, the salary one, also uncovered wiretaps of them saying the purpose of the plus Valencia thing was to intentionally skew it in their favor. Uh-huh. So because there is proof that they did it intentionally, that's why it's now a deduction and not just, well, we looked at transfer market and it doesn't line up. You know, now they're saying, oh, there's proof that you saw the values and said, nah, let's just say it's more with the intent of screwing the system. That's why they're getting it this time.
And something will happen, and they'll get done on two, potentially three counts, because there's another refereeing scandal that's come around. But I'm going to hold off on commenting on that until we get the full info. But the salary thing sounds like it could be even more serious than the capital gains thing. I don't know why they didn't just go for that first, if that's the one that's like absolutely cut and dry, could be relegated kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see where we are. We've got to keep winning games. We could win Juve and beat Juve and finish above them. But unless we beat the teams at the bottom end of the table, and I think we now play the bottom four or something, as well as Juve, and then that's the rest of the season.
It's odd that I feel more confident about beating Juve than the other four. Pioli just like doesn't understand. I don't know if it's Pioli or our players who just don't arrive for the occasion.
It could be a bit of both.
He also changes the entire starting 11. You know.
Yeah. The thing is, as well, we'll do the Inter preview in a second, but then you've got Spezia between the two Inter legs, so you can imagine there'll be more rotation for that, and Spezia could do with the points themselves. And then the next game in the league will be after the second leg against Inter, so the players could well be tired, especially if there's extra time and everything. And only then can you start, you know, fielding your starting lineup fully for every game. And we don't know where we're going to be with injury situation. So that's why I always think it's more important to get points on the board early. And then, here we are. Let's move on then. We have another game in the Champions League to preview, and it's quite a big one. So after Maddie's quick location change there, I'm sure you've all clocked the throwback to the outdoors venue for him. We've got a really important game to talk about here. The Champions League semi-finals are upon us. Obviously knew the situation when the quarterfinal got drawn against Napoli, that if we beat Napoli and they beat Benfica, then we'd be setting up a first derby in the Champions League knockout stages since 2005. It's the first semi-final derby since 2003. 6 days, two games. Apparently something like over 170 countries that will be tuning in. Around, there was 2 million ticket requests, so you would need to times San Siro by 26 in order to fit them all in. Here we are. It's upon us. It's the big one. It's the biggest thing that I think we've covered probably on this podcast. I'll go that far. I'm going, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned it. I can't wait.
I got a ticket, I wouldn't be on the episode right now. I'd still be there. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I will be watching from my basement with my buddy who's an Inter Milan fan.
Whoa.
I know nobody else.
You got Milan Club Detroit.
You're right, but I also have to work.
Yeah,
I can't work from a cigar bar.
That's fair.
But I can work from my basement.
Very true.
Mm-hmm. Massively. This is, I think, you know, one of the most important events for Italian football in the last decade as well. You know, for years it was regarded as a one-team league, like Juve racking up 9 titles in a row. But now the Milan teams, having won the last 2 Scudetti before Napoli crowning title this year, kind of overthrown their dominance. And now to have this run deep into Europe as well, once again, something that only Napoli and Juve can dream of. I think it's fantastic to have, I'm going to say, the two biggest clubs in Italy up there competing again. Everyone's kind of writing off this semi-final as being, you know, the clear poorer one of the two in terms of quality, because you've got Real Madrid and Man City on the other side, and we'll get a look at them in the first leg tonight as well. How are you feeling about this? Excited, nervous, mixture of the two?
You're always going to be excited when you're playing the Champions League, no matter the opponent or what stage of it. Then when you make it your inner city rival, and knowing that you lost to them in the Super Cup earlier in the season and the league once, and then beat them in the other one in the league, knowing that you're going to have this big game 5 times in 1 year, it's a record amount of times. Like, it's it's every emotion. It's scary. It's terrifying. It's exciting. It's happiness. You know, you got Liao out. You got Inter in good form. Like, everything's stacking against us. Like, the odds are flowing each way all the time. And it's not one I'm confident for, that's for sure. I'm nervous as fuck.
Yeah, it's like a double-edged sword, right? It's like, mm-hmm. you want to win, but if you lose, it sucks that you lose. Then if you lose, Inter go to the Champions League final, yeah. right? But then it's also like, hey, at least an Italian team is in the Champions League final. Like, it's good for the league overall, because you know if it's Juve, they're not going to win it.
Yeah.
I don't think Inter are either, but, you know.
This game determines who I'm rooting for in the final, that's for sure.
Well, this yeah. game is playing for the right to lose to whoever wins the semifinal. Saying, yeah.
Hey, nah, it's not like that. Obviously. We're in the semifinal just like they are, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because, you know, just cause we're not going to be favorites, but yeah, Napoli were the highest scoring team in the Champions League this mm-hmm. season. We held them to one goal. That's massive.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah, it is huge. We seem to have found another
gear. Stats matter, AJ.
We seem to have found another gear in the Champions League this season as well.
We lost Inter 3-0 last time we played them. How's that for a stat?
Shut the fuck up.
Sorry, I'll continue.
No, it's fine. You mentioned it a little bit before. Inter are coming into this game as like the bookmakers' favourites, and quite a few of the leading pundits are saying that that they make them the favourites as well because they're coming in slightly better league form. They've won 2 derbies to 1 so far this season. They've got a deeper squad. We might not have Liao for one of the games, which is obviously massive. Do you agree with that, both of you? Yeah. Do you think they are favourites?
Yeah.
I think so. Just the way that they've been playing.
Do you think that's a good thing, just in the way that Napoli were favourites?
I mean, I don't know if I think it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm going to say I think it's a bad thing, not because of the label favourite and underdog, but because I've seen how they've played over the last 5 or 6 games. I've seen Lukaku get a goal and assist in each of the last 3. You know, like I've watched them become the team that I was afraid of last season and the year prior, and not the team that started the season getting laughed at. So that's why I'm afraid of it. I do think they're a fantastic team right now, and it's definitely not something to take lightly. And then you add in the fact that Liao may not be there, and you know they're not gonna just sit back and let us beat the shit out of them like Lazio did. You know. So this is – it's scary.
I like being the underdog against other teams, not against Inter.
Yeah.
I feel like in the last, like, 5 years, Inter have just had our number. We've beaten them, like, a handful of times, but the majority, they've beaten us pretty well. I'm not hopeful. I can say that. Like, I'm extremely excited.
Mm-hmm. When we finished Napoli, I thought we were going to the final all the way, and now my opinion's kind of swayed just in the last couple.
Yeah, I mean, also, Inter were not playing as well then, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
they yeah. squeaked by Benfica. I mean, what, 5-3 was the aggregate?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, they're also leaking goals in. We're not. So, it's going to be a fucking wild, wild 7 days.
Yeah, it's going to be mad. Team for Wednesday night potentially picks itself if Liao's absent, because you don't have to worry about the flanks anymore. I suppose the only debate maybe is in the back four. Do you stick with Tomori Kier as the centre-back pairing? I think it's got to be.
I'm going to throw something out there that might be controversial, but I'm thinking of when we played them in the league in January and we lost 1-0. And I didn't think we were that bad of a team. But if Liao's not going to be there, if he's not going to play at all, I think maybe switch back to the 3-3-5-2 or 3-5, whatever we did. Just because I know our defensive ability and how hard they struggled to break that down, and knowing their form and knowing that we're not going to have our attacking option, who, by the way, was the only person who really struggled in that formation. So yeah. Now he's gone. Go back to that formation that defensively we're killing it in, and I don't know, maybe hold out a 0-0 or even a 1-0, or maybe squeak a goal in there, you know. And then for the second leg, if Liao's fit, then we go back to what we're doing and go for the win at that point. I don't know, but obviously it's a game of it it's not a game. It's two games. It's not just 90 minutes, but I don't know. I'm just afraid that we're going to let this game get away from us. And then it does become just a 90 minute affair. And the second leg is, you know, just there. It does it inconsequential, but
yeah,
my brain's everywhere. I'm nervous. I'm still jet lagged. I can't think of something. Sorry.
This is what derbies do. And then when you up the stakes this much, you start second guessing every single opinion you've ever had about this squad. You know, you start thinking, should we play Calabria against DiMarco? Because Calabria tends to struggle sometimes tracking runners, and DiMarco scored a couple of important goals recently. But then Kalulu's also been struggling to mark his man. And, you know, like you just start thinking of all the individual player battles that are going to happen all over the pitch. You know, I'm thinking you want Tomori on Lautaro and Kier to try and handle Dzeko if they play. Tonali on Barella and match them up that way. Giroud to try and get the better of Acerbi, and like there is a lot of intriguing stuff that's going to happen in this game, and I hope that the spectacle lives up to the hype, but I really don't see it. I think the stakes are too high in this game, and both teams will be happy to take it to a second leg shootout. You know, I have a really strong feeling about this being a draw, either a 0-0 or a 1-1, but a 0-0 like is favoured result for me. There'll be a goal inside 10 minutes now, but
like, you also have to remember, Inter are not, like, they're probably just as nervous as we are. They're not going into this like, this is going to be a cakewalk.
They've lost 11 times in the league. They're going
into this like, we also have got to win, right? And it's not like a quarterfinal or a round of 16 where it's like, ha, you're going on. That's more games. We can just concentrate on the league now. No, because the final's after the league's over. Mm-hmm. So no matter what, we both have the same amount of games left.
They have the Coppa Italia final as well.
Yeah, or Coppa Italia.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Just got to do predictions.
I'm turning red just thinking about this game, guys. I'm fucking nervous. I'm really nervous for this.
I'm really excited to be there. Don't get me wrong. Like,
are you going
to
be at the one tomorrow or
tomorrow? Tomorrow, yeah. I'm flying out tomorrow morning early on. I'm going to try and soak stuff up in the city beforehand and just try and get a vibe for what it's like on such a tense day. And the privilege of it being there is not lost on me at all, don't get me wrong. But I've said to the Mrs. Jordan a few times over the last week, I actually don't want to be there. Like, it's too much, man. It's too stressful. It's just going to do things to my blood pressure and my heart rate. And it's also difficult when you're in the press area because you're not expected to celebrate goals. You've got to keep a little bit of, you know, decorum about you. And that was tough when we scored against Napoli. It didn't really happen. You've got all the Milan journalists jumping up and fist pumping, which I think was really good. But now I'm just well excited to see what tifos both teams have got planned, to see if Teo and Dumfries try to punch each other again. Like, there's so many.
Love it, man.
There's so many subplots to this game.
Going to intentionally do the fucking flares again to try to recreate that moment?
Nah. Yes.
No, because it resulted in Inter having to play behind closed doors for like the next few European games.
Didn't they have to forfeit that match too?
Yeah, it ended 5-0 on aggregate because of that.
Really great for us.
We do have the positive precedent when it comes to this. We did win the two other Champions League knockout games. The first one was away goals. Shevchenko scored and Obafemi Martins equalised, and that took us to the final against Juve in 0-3, which we won.
We've never lost to an Italian team in the Champions League.
Mm-hmm. Maddie's clapping the team out already.
The dog scratches at the door to come in, and it sounds like nails on the chalkboard, so I was ending that real fast.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, 0-0. That 0-0 is my prediction, and it would be bad to go and not see a goal, but I just have a really strong feeling both teams will say, let's have a one-off game. You know, let's do it like that. Hope to be wrong.
I don't think so. I think Inter's going to come out swinging. I think they smell the blood in the water and think, all right, let's beat them while they're down. They might not have their best player. We're in hot form. Let's try to make this another Super Cup and end it quick, you know?
I can see it. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's really all I was going to say.
I could see them coming in thinking that if we were missing like Teo or Tomori, but because Liao's an offensive player, like he doesn't do much on defense. You could also argue having Salamakers on the left and Macias on the right, they drop back and are a little bit more defensive than Leao. So, you know.
Well, and one thing that actually really favors us with is having both Salamakers and Macias on the field at the same time. It tells Inter that they don't know which side we're going to be attacking down. You know, when it's Leao,
because they're both shit. We're flanking the
left. I mean, I don't want to say that.
He's apparently going to be Brahim Diaz, not Macias, on the right.
Good.
So, oh, I think that's even better, actually.
Yeah,
I don't know why I said on the left.
Macias.
I thought it was Macias too. So,
and the predicted lineup also has Benacer as the number 10 again, the number 10, but really he'll just be pinning whoever plays as six.
The other thing that we all forgot to mention is we have Maignan again. We didn't have him the last two that we lost to him or to them. And we did have him obviously in the beginning of the season when we won. We also had Leao score a brace early on. So, I don't know.
By the way, happened,
but if they're going to attack like I think they will, that honestly plays into our hand better. It did against Napoli.
Yeah, and just so this isn't out of date, if something comes out in a few hours, Pioli did actually say there's a chance that Leao starts, but there's only a chance that he starts or he misses the game entirely.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to put him on the bench if he's not ready, but if he is feeling good tomorrow again, like he did today, then he's going to start. So, fingers crossed he feels great in the morning and he gets the nod. But I do agree with not playing him at all if he's not 100%.
So, yeah.
And I think that's the right thing to do. But yeah, fingers crossed Rafa is okay to get the nod.
We are going to win one, though.
I'm going to say it's 3-2 to Milan.
Whoa.
Jesus.
That
Christ,
would be a barn burner.
Fucking...
I think it's going to be. I
think... Yeah. I'd make it to 70 minutes if there was 5 goals, and then I'd just keel over.
Well, all 5 are coming after the 70th.
Could you imagine what a crazy 20 minutes that would be?
God.
Yeah, please.
Nightmare.
And then Real Madrid City's the 0-0. That would be funny. Yeah, let's move on.
Haaland gets injured right before they play Everton.
Oh, man. I mean, I'm not crossing my fingers that he gets injured, but I would love for him to miss the final if we're there.
yeah, that would be nice.
I mean, same, not like Benzema, a serious injury, just like a, hey, you stubbed your toe, you better not play.
Yeah. Let's move on. Spezia preview.
It's going to be a loss.
Yeah.
Look, I don't want to call it an anticlimax because that's the way we don't want the team to think about it. But after the first leg of the Champions League derby, we face off against Spezia, who are currently third bottom in the table and 3 points off safety, with Verona having climbed out of the bottom three with their recent win. They have only won 5 games all season. They have only scored 28 goals in 34 games. They let in 56, so their goal difference isn't looking too pretty either. And they have Leonardo Semplici in charge now, having had Luca Gotti and a caretaker prior to Semplici arriving. I tell you one thing about this. Now, maybe it doesn't feed into the logic because Cremonese came and kind of tried to defend. But the fact that Spezia have now dropped 3 points inside with so little time to go makes me feel like they've got to go for this a bit. And that might play into our hands. The last thing we want is to be playing teams that are happy to defend for a draw. But also, we're going to lose. So
this team's not going to be playing for a draw. With 4 games to go, they need 3 points to avoid relegation. And let's be real, they're a better team than Verona. So they're going to try and do it. Like you said, they've lost their last 3. They haven't won a game since March 10th, ironically, against Inter. But regardless of, you know, how you want to spin our form, another stat that does lie is we're unbeaten in our last 9 games. So why not make it 11? Because we're not losing against Inter either. I don't know. I think we'll be good. We're obviously going to rotate. But like you said, they're going to come forward, and that's going to play into our hand. And this will be the game that CDK continues his shitty form. He will not be on the score sheet. But Origi will. Origi will score a goal.
One thing for Spezia as well is if you stop Anzola, then you've pretty much stopped them. He's got 13 goals.
They got Daniel Maldini.
Yeah, but he's injured. So he did score against us in the return fixture, of course, and he did score against Inter. So there is already a bit of a narrative there. But I think he's meant to miss this game. There's a drop-off from 13 goals for Nzola down to 3 for the next player, and a drop-off from 15 goal contributions for him in total to 6 for Simone Bastoni, who is a left-back. So they're struggling attacking-wise this season. So I think it's one of those where if we're frustrated, we're looking at a 0-0. I don't foresee a situation where we get battered in this game. But we don't really have anything much to add because we don't know what the injury situation is going to be. We don't know if he's planning on rotating heavily again between the two legs, but we can presume so. Be likes of, you know, probably Macias, maybe CDK, Ariki, you know, I don't know, could be Franks and whoever plays least on.
Valtore will be on tomorrow. There.
Yeah, yeah, which will obviously make it a more difficult game.
Out of our center backs, Chow is suspended for this game.
Mm.
And Tomori will be back.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because all four of our center back. Oh, we lost Madison. All four of our center backs were a card away from suspension a couple games ago. I don't know. Tomori got it. He missed. Cremonese. Chow got a yellow against Lazio. So Kalulu and Kier still need to get a card. So I would imagine they don't play. I would assume maybe it's going to be
Gabia. Yeah,
well, one of them has to. Oh, unless it's Gabia. Yeah. Unless it's Gabia.
Yeah, he does have a one-game suspension to serve. Kier, Rebic, Pabega, and Kalulu, the ones that are won away, as you said. I guess we just do a prediction. What did I say? I said it'll be a 0-0 if we get held. So I'm going to go 2-2 and just against my judgment.
I'm going 2-1 for us. I think they're going to score early, and we're going to be clawing back the whole time. And then we'll get 2 late goals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go 1-1 draw because that's how all these games have been going.
That's probably the safest bet, to be honest.
Good to have so much confidence ahead of a game against a team in the relegation zone, but here we are. We'll do a couple of questions just to round off. Appreciate it's intense when there's 4 games to cover. Lorenzo Raffini wants to know, why is Italian pollen the worst in Europe?
That shit was disgusting. It was so bad. So it's not actually pollen, but they just call it pollen. I don't know why. It's like the seed of a something tree. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But it's like the little white kind of dandelion puff thing flying around, and they're just all over in the city. And yeah, we were dying at dinner. It was hitting us left and right. Him and I were just sneezing, and it was gross. So yeah, that pollen sucks.
Yeah,
sounds like pollen.
Yeah, it sounds like pollen, but it's not. Pollen's yellow. These are white.
Yeah, you're right.
Could be any color.
No, pollen's yellow.
You're just a scientist, aren't you?
Yes,
you're
sir.
A physicist.
I'm
scientist.
An arborist.
I honestly think that it might also be pollen, but just a different type. But I'm not going to pretend to know, so we'll go with AJ on that. Rezani asks, if our bench was a Serie A side, where would they be in the table?
Final bottom three.
You know, yeah, they definitely be, I think, bottom half. They're, I don't know. If they actually, you know what? Here's the hot take. I think they're all good players, but we just, none of them are getting it together. They're not clicking. If they were their own starting 11 and over a 38 game season, I feel like they would eventually click and find form, and they would finish 6-8 in that range.
That is highly unlikely, but I appreciate the confidence.
Yeah.
You've also got to account for all of these backups getting injured and then us having to bring in worse backup players, like Bakayoko's getting games in this season and stuff. I would say we finish like smack bang, like middle range respectability, but not pushing Europe, somewhere 12th. Like, I don't know who the fuck's 12th, like Udinese or whatever. But it's tough to know, as AJ says, if they got a run of games together, it could actually unlock them all. Gregory Peck asks, he's got a two-part question. Number one, do you think Milan are respected outside of Italy, mainly by the British media? So the reason that I think he asked that is because you've got like Gary Neville tweeting. He's saying he thinks that Milan win against Inter. And I actually remember more of us getting slagged off. Like Harry Redknapp said, Spurs are certain to beat us. And then Paul Merson said, whoever goes through is doesn't stand a chance against Man City or Real Madrid. Yeah. But I guess we still have a bit of weight, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that question's better.
The British media lives in a bubble where the English Premier League is the only thing that exists to them and the greatest thing since sliced bread.
So, yes, 100% I agree with that. I also recognize, though, that the way the Premier League specifically is marketed to the world plays a big part in why they are the number one league. And every pundit is always going to pick them because of that. If they weren't getting 6.9 billion pounds a year in TV rates money, you wouldn't be seeing every person who is on TV say, ah, oh, they're the best of the best of the best. You know, you even see when Serie A was on ESPN, who is the American holders. Sorry, that's not true, but they do like FA Cup and stuff like that. Those pundits were slagging off the Italian teams in favor of the British team while they were the network that had it because the Premier League, like they pay so much more money. Of course you're going to market them. Of course you're going to hype them up. So, yeah, they live in a bubble, and yeah, they probably undercut us. But when you get down to the nitty gritty, if you ask them off camera, off the record, I bet they'd give a lot more level headed preview. And they probably would still pick City over us because, let's be real, they're beating us if we play them.
The second question DNA. Was, yeah, DNA. The second question was, I'm hoping to go to San Siro next year. Any recommendations / tips?
Yeah, I got a whole bunch. I mean, Ollie, you gave me a bunch of yours, and I followed most of them. So, yeah, I do want actual ones. I mean, stay somewhere close to a metro station. You don't need to buy a metro card. It's contactless payment with your bank card. So. Just use that.
I told you that. Isaac was trying to get you to buy one of the tickets from the shit machines that never work.
I'll be honest.
Isaac is like an 80-year-old man who doesn't know how to use technology.
Yeah. I didn't know that either you or Isaac had commented on that, to be honest. It was Gemma who's like, yeah, you just use your bank card. And I was like, what?
Oh, yeah,
and then we explained it to Lorenzo, and apparently they had been taking the fucking city tram the whole time until we showed them that because they didn't want to buy a bank card. So, yeah, it definitely comes in handy. Stay near a station. And get to the stadium a couple hours early. There's a bunch of restaurants out front where the Corva meets. You get a great dinner. Then you go in, get there an hour and a half before, and you get to see the whole warm-ups. You get to see the Pioli's on fire chant. You get to see a bunch of great stuff. And don't be frugal with your money. Have a good time. Enjoy your visit. It's a wonderful city. A lot of things to do.
The getting to the stadium early thing is an important point because, like, my entire time growing up watching Huddersfield, it was more a thing of, like, get to the stadium as late as you possibly can. Because there's just there's just not the same culture, you know. Like you spend more time in the pub, and that's when that's when you have the social side of things. But then in there, it's a completely different thing, you know. Yeah. If you want to see the Pioli's on fire chant, you got to be in there like an hour 45 minutes before. But it is well worth doing it for. I would definitely agree with that. And Abhijit Mohan wants to know if Torgrud gave Lorenzo the beer that was promised from Madison.
I did.
Was that asked?
Yes, it was. Yes.
Dude, thank you, listener, for watching till the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yes, I gave it to him. Funny story about that, actually, is so we got to the stadium and we get to our seats, and the concession stands was right above our section. It was actually a short, quick, easy walk, but I reached in. I had to carry a man purse, basically, because, you know, pickpockets. That's another travel tip. Don't put your wallet in your back pocket if that's where you normally put it. Get like a carry thing in your front. Avoid pickpockets. So had my cash in there. I didn't grab my wallet. I just reached in, grabbed cash, grabbed a 50 euro note, and we went up, and I was gonna, you know, give him half of it, buy beer or whatever. So I get up there and I order two waters, one for me, one for my girlfriend, order a beer for me. And then Lawrence is like, all right, get two waters for us and a beer as well, because his girlfriends are also. And I reached in and I realized that 50 euro note was not a 50 euro note. I grabbed a 10, which is pink, as is the 50, and then a 5. So I had 15 euro. And he didn't have his wallet because I told him it's on me / Madison. And so I ended up getting him a water bottle. And we went back. And then at halftime, I went up with my debit card and, you know, bought him the rest of it, which I don't think was equal to the money you gave. So afterwards, we went to dinner and then gelato, and I bought him and his girlfriend gelato. So.
Yeah, he messaged me. He goes, "Thanks for the beer and the gelato." And I was like, "I didn't fucking buy you gelato, man." No, I'm just kidding. I just said, "Glad you enjoyed it. Happy birthday." So
yeah, no, we had a great time. Yeah, Lorenzo's a great dude. His Becca, she's a sweetheart. They're fantastic people. So yeah,
we had a lot of fun. Family, eh? Friends.
Yeah,
alive.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we spent the whole day together, and unintentionally, the night prior, like we knew he was getting in that Friday, and he's like, "Okay, me and Becca, we're gonna do our thing," and I was like, "Cool," because we're doing our thing. And basically, we're a couple vacations, and then we coincidentally showed up at the fucking night spa at the exact same time. And
oh, that was on accident.
Yeah, that was not planned at all. Neither of us knew what was happening until he said, "We're going to spa." And I was like, "Hold on, I'm going to this one." And he's like, "Oh, that's the one we're going to." And so we walked in and we saw him and Becca sitting down eating in their robes, and we just got ours on. So then we just kind of did that thing, not together, but together, if that makes sense. Had a good time. And then the next day we spent the whole day together, did the Casa Milan tour, the shop, food. Then after the game, we went back, freshened up, went to dinner, had a great dinner together, and then browse the streets and stuff. Yeah, so good times.
Fantastic. That's a really positive note to end on. I'm not going to ask another question. Thank you to everybody who made it this far. Just as a heads up for this week, the bonus podcast is going to be talking a little bit more about AJ's trip and the merch that he managed to get while he was out there, which is well worth a reveal. So make sure that he's going to be live modeling it, starting from nude. So
you don't want to see that.
Make sure you tune in for that. And yeah, thank you. If you got any thoughts, any predictions for the derby, get them in the comments section. Give us a like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. And as I say, make sure to check out the Substack this week as well. Thanks for watching, everyone. We've got to do the sign off. I've been your host, Ollie Fisher. AJ, cheers.
Yep, 245.
Edward_ Till.
See you in a week.
Ante, ecco l'anteante in area di rigore, anteante, Ibra, gol! Vediamo se è buono, ce l'ho da buono.